The presidential race runs through the Midwest. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We're going to be in Iowa. We're going to be in Wisconsin, so I thought I'd stop in Minnesota. I don't take anything for granted. We're going to work for every single vote up to the last minute.
Democratic nominee Joe Biden won't be alone in two of those states. President Trump will also rally today in Minnesota and Wisconsin and campaign in Michigan as coronavirus cases surge. The 88,000 new infections reported yesterday in the U.S., the most in a day yet. The president tweeted more testing is the reason, claiming deaths are way down, but there were more than 1,000 of them yesterday in the U.S. In Minnesota, Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar is urging people to stop mailing in ballots to vote in person from now on after a court ruling. Fox's Jeff Manasso explains live.
Dave, the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals rules that it was unconstitutional, an attempt by Minnesota Democratic Secretary of State Steve Simon to extend the deadline for counting absentee ballots by 7 days. The court say that it's the Minnesota legislature that writes election law and that Simon overstepped his authority. The Secretary of State for months has been telling voters to just make sure absentee ballots are postmarked by election day. Ballots that will now be set aside, if not in, by Tuesday's deadline date.
Which have more than 79 million Americans have voted early. That ends today in Texas, where more ballots have been cast already than the total of 2016.
Remember, it was extended a whole week because of the pandemic, and it has been reported as a madhouse at times. In some places, a lot of records shattered across the state. Long lines, polling hours even extended in some communities.
Fox's Casey Stiegel in Dallas. Americans keep buying more. Consumer spending rose 1.4% last month. That is a smaller rise than in prior months after the springtime COVID shutdowns. On Wall Street, a return to selling today. The Dow is down 410 points. The Nasdaq losing 300. America's listening to Fox News.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Attention, this is a very important message to anyone with debt exceeding $10,000. With the worldwide stock markets free-falling, coronavirus being labeled a global pandemic, cities and whole countries in quarantine and layoffs picking up speed, the last thing you need to worry about is your credit card bills. Due to the recent global events, a special debt relief helpline has been created for anyone with over $10,000 in debt. But you must call us at 800-805-7728. As banks shore up capital bracing for a recession, they are willing to settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe, making it a perfect time to eliminate your debt and save your money during these tough economic times. There are no upfront fees, and we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. But you must call us at 800-805-7728. This opportunity won't last long, so call us today at 800-805-7728. You have enough to worry about. Settle your debt and remove that unneeded stress. 800-805-7728. That's 800-805-7728.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store. It's Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspension, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Weekend weather starts with 88 and partly sunny today, 59 overnight tonight, north wind at 5 to 10. Saturday, partly cloudy and 91, 63 Saturday night. Sunday, partly cloudy, 92, 67 Sunday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
And good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage. Tom Rush, Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Russ Clark, color commentary. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, you guys have had a good show already. You know, slow news day, right?
Oh, no.
So, not a slow news day there. Tom, I know you've got a stack of papers. There's a ton of stuff going on your world and my world, but today, let's just talk about kind of where the market is and what we see happening in the future and what has happened so far. So, you know, red light, green light. Are your clients having good years or bad years?
Having good year, meaning 2020?
Quick decision. Is 2020 a good year or a bad year for most of your clientele?
I think emotionally it's a bad year because of COVID, because everybody has that cloud over them.
Mm-hmm.
The S&Ps, it was up about 9% 2 weeks ago, and now it's flat. So I would say, you know, that's not good because people want to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things that we're getting asked really is where we go from here, meaning are things going to get better, are things going to get worse? And that's kind of the million-dollar question that people want to know. Now, I don't want to get into the politics of it all because I know politics is probably too much in the last couple of days. But I do want to talk about the economics of it because, you know, economics is a little more black and white. And I think there's pros and cons with everything. And I know one of the big, you know, unknown out there is, you know, if Trump wins or Biden wins. And who knows, you know, I think that's something to worry about. But I think the number one thing to worry about is really what's going to happen with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And if the numbers continue to go up, and they've been spiking a little bit, even in Yuma, I don't know if you follow it, but if they go up, you know, what will happen with some of these businesses again, as far as will there be, you know, some more shutdowns? My understanding is it really depends on the governor, and I think Ducey pretty much came out, correct me if I'm wrong, but said, you know, there's been studies of cities that have shut down and haven't shut down. There's not much of a difference.
Yeah.
So I think he came out and said, you know, we're not going to shut down any businesses. So, but there's other governors like New York and some other places that wanted to close everything down. So I think the big question is, where are we going forward? I think a lot of it has to do with COVID and if the economy is going to open back up or if it's going to, you know, regress a little bit as far as not opening back up. That's the number one question I think would drive the economy.
And similar question on our side. So why are interest rates at now all-time lows? Because what happened is when the shutdown happened and COVID basically started ruining parts of the economy, Federal Reserve stepped in, started buying mortgage-backed securities. We all remember quantitative easing, QE2, QE3 back in the day. The reason rates are so low is the Federal Reserve has been buying mortgage-backed securities to prop up that market. So just like you're talking about what happens when COVID is solved or cured going forward for the economy, same thing is going to happen on our side. Is right now I'm seeing customers take up to 2 points off their interest rate. And, you know, people that would normally have thought, hey, I've got an interest rate that's in the middle to high fours, you wouldn't think traditionally you could take up to 2 points off your interest rate. But I see people doing that. And that's 45, sometimes 50% decline in their interest rate. So when you say what's going to happen going forward, the one thing I would like everybody to look at is for the next 6 months to 18 months, depending on whose projections you have, this is the greatest time in history to rearrange your debt. I mean, I don't want anybody to have debt. I would love them to have lots of assets to give it to you. But your house, your car, your credit cards, your boats, your RVs, your toys, whatever you've got that has financing on it. Look, Russ is there on his Mint right now checking his interest rates on his credit card.
Checking his Bitcoin.
Yep. You know, for the next 6 to 18 months, and I think we've got about a year, this will be the greatest time in history to rearrange your debt. And that, for me, is free money in somebody's pocket because you and I know you have to go earn the money, pay the income tax on it, and what you have left is what's in your pocket after you pay Uncle Sam.
So I actually have a stat on that. I got a newsletter that just puts out a bunch of info. It says it's about time Americans have reduced their outstanding balances on their revolving debt, a.k.a. credit card debt, home equity loans, for 6 months in a row. So that means that they have been paying that down more. And some of it has to do with, I think before COVID, savings rate was 4 or 5% on average. And then now it's closer to 12 to 14. So the people aren't going out, eating, spending money. So they are probably rearranging or paying down debt or refinancing, like you said.
Yeah.
But one of the things out there that there's been studies, and basically whenever there's an event, and let's just say a hurricane as an event, you know, everything gets locked down, there's usually damage to stuff, but then after that, the economy really surges because people go out and spend money, and I think that's the same thing that's going to happen a little bit with COVID, that once people feel comfortable, you know, the economy is going to really boom because savings rates have really gone up. I hate to say this, but people feel kind of caged in, and they will, you know, at some point, everyone in the world is going to want to travel.
Well,
it's already come in. It's just a matter of when they can't feel comfortable.
I think you're 100% correct. We just saw the stat come out. GDP was up 33.1%.
Right.
I mean, you're starting to see that. Go ahead, Brad.
I say it didn't get a lot of press, but it was an amazing number because it's never happened in a recovery before that we've had that kind of number come up. So first, it's the highest ever in the history.
Ever.
So in July, the GDP was down 30%, and now it's up 33%.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy. You know, it's
well. And the point was, we've never had a recovery like that. If it's ever down 30, it comes up.
Yeah, five,
small
six,
increments.
Yeah.
This time it bounced, which means it's going to be a V-type recovery and not a slow.
And hopefully for everybody who is listening and in our community, that's translating back into the small businesses that are seeing much more volume back through their doors. You know, I know restaurants have been able to open up back to 25%. You know, you talk with some of the gyms and they're back to 25% capacity versus 100, but they've got people coming through the doors and it's the regulars. And, you know, when...
So like small business, I mean, 80% of jobs are created through small business, not big business. Everybody hears the big names, but it's the small businesses. So I actually have a stat that kind of, you know, not blew me away, but I thought the number was higher than I thought. But it basically says Americans between the age of 18 and 49 that are self-employed. So what percentage of Americans are self-employed 18 to 49? You guys can both throw out a guess.
Oh, my God. Percentage?
Self-employed.
Self-employed?
But 18 to
20? 20%?
I'd say 22.
20. Got it.
Oh.
Here's a piece of candy.
I always needed that.
The point is, that's 20%.
That's huge.
That's a huge number. So, and then they said the age is 60, self-employed over the age of 65, basically, 48% of American workers between the age of 65 plus are self-employed. I mean, that's just half.
Yeah.
But the point is, if small business fails because the COVID shuts down and it does affect, you know, businesses, and if they, you know, don't have the deep pockets or the money, that's going to be huge, and that's going to hurt us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So small businesses are nimble and rugged, but at some point, you know, a lot of them, they think are going to fail. I heard some stats that maybe one out of eight small business might not make it. I also heard some stats on the restaurants. You know, they say, you know, a lot of these mom-and-pa restaurants and that are having a hard time.
Well, those poor guys and gals are in trouble. I mean, you look at Chicago. They just talked about, hey, you can eat outdoors again. No offense, but we live in Yuma, Arizona. In Chicago, you don't really want to eat outdoors
in the wintertime.
So, but let's talk about that and what we see going forward after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Eggenberg, and we're talking about kind of what's going on out there in the economy, pros and cons. And like anything with economics, you're always going to have some good things, you're always going to have some bad things, and you got to kind of read in between the middle and make some type of prediction.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that has been a strong point through this whole COVID thing has been housing. You know, the price of housing is the highest it's ever been. It says the average house sold in the United States was like over 300,000. That was the average, a little bit over 300,000.
Wow.
So pricing's pretty good. If anyone knows anything about housing in Yuma, they know the market's pretty hot. Not enough inventory.
Yep.
Prices are high. I mean, you can comment on that since you probably see it more than I do.
Well, you're 100% right, and it's partly driven by interest rates are so low that people want to buy homes, but it's also driven by what people don't see is people migrating to Yuma. You're seeing a lot of people from California move this direction for political reasons, for tax reasons, for job reasons, for cost of living reasons. And in my position, I see about two people a day who are making phone calls or inquiries on moving this direction, and these are blue-collar, white-collar workers that want to move this direction for their family. It's not speculation like it was before. So the demand here in Yuma is through the roof. And like you say, the prices of homes have gone up. It doesn't feel like it's unaffordable to most people because the interest rates are so low.
Right.
Now, when interest rates start to rise, that increase in housing price will become very evident. So again, let's say you go from a 2.75% interest rate to a 4% interest rate. That extra third of interest, you know, a full third cost in interest is going to make that payment feel like it's way out of some people's reach. This means they buy a smaller home, but we haven't seen the run-up in prices is amazing for people selling, but it's not been felt as much by the buyer because the interest rates are so low.
So I think, you know, California has some legislature out there that talking about introducing that basically puts a higher tax on the state tax of people that make more money. So they have the state tax. If you make over $1 million, they're going to tax it an extra 1%, increase it. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but 1% on $1 million is 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that California is doing is probably, you know, causing people to get the heck out of there, especially people with money. I drove my daughter to Texas, and we talked to some people, and she lives by San Antonio. But we talked to some people in the restaurants and all that, and they say, hey, we got so many California people coming over here. A lot of them were business owners that, mm-hmm. They're probably in the higher tax bracket. So there's a void, big void leaving California. Housing's good and prices are good, inventories are low. You asked me the question on break. Let's just say, 25 people wanted to move to Yuma and said, hey, I like a new house in Yuma. Is Yuma producing 25 houses a month? I don't know the answer, but...
We're producing 25 a month, but not 25 new households a month. And that's one of the things to keep in mind that, if you said every builder in Yuma is building flat out, which is very difficult to find some of the tradesmen and women to build homes, let's step back for a second. The COVID unemployment made it actually that somebody who didn't work was making more money than somebody who was swinging a hammer framing a house. So one of the reasons that the home builders have gotten behind is it was very difficult to find laborers to get stuff done.
Now, I just had a conversation with a date grower in town last week, and he said the exact same thing. He goes, I go, how's the price of dates? He goes, oh, they're okay. He goes, the problem we had is we couldn't find the people to pick them because they'd rather stay home and collect the $600, which, can't blame them, I guess, but... Same problem
it's
in the construction.
The same simple economics you talked about when we opened the show. The economics is, for some of these people, they got paid more by the federal government to sit at home and not work than to go out and work. And so when you say housing, the housing supply, if you will, got behind because they weren't building it fast enough. But again, if you wanted to bring, let's say, 50 families into Yuma per month, and I think that's a big number, but we're not building 50 extra homes for people who already do not reside in our community. That's going to put a huge burden on the supply chain. Now, what happens when there's limited supply?
Older houses will be bought, right? I mean, not new houses.
But what happens to the prices? Prices go up. So that's also pushing the price of homes up, which, again, is not felt as much by the buyer because interest rates are so low. When interest rates go back to a normal environment, that $300,000 home is going to feel fairly expensive.
Now, I don't know if you heard that. I mean, you've heard it, but one of the pros out or negatives out there or cons is the price of wood has gone up quite a bit.
Quadrupled.
I heard 70%, but you think it's gone up 100%.
There's times that it's been quadruple for some of these builders to get lumber.
And I heard one of the builders in town, I don't remember the name, but they were just putting off building new houses for a couple months. Did you hear that?
A lot of them did because of the supply chain issues. I mean, just getting things. And again, let's look at it. When the big lumber mills nationwide slowed down because the industry analysts said, hey, housing is going to slump, they slowed their production. There's no reason to pay people and have a lot of inventory.
They completely missed that mark.
They missed it. Then you got to ramp up. Then you got people who are potentially paid more to sit at home versus run the mill. Then you have some COVID outbreaks. So all of a sudden, you've got this supply chain disruption that, look, if you're a major home builder and you have contracted prices and guaranteed delivery, if you're a lumber mill, you have to go fulfill those contracts first, right? So then if you're a small builder in a rural community, whether it's Yuma or somewhere else in the country, you're paying way more just to get the lumber because they already contractually have sold it somewhere else.
Yeah, or you're on a waiting list.
Yep, and that's really what you saw is the prices went through the roof. Certain builders didn't have contractual obligations with lumber providers, and supply and demand, if you're the last guy to the table, you're going to pay the most for it.
So the other thing that's hurting businesses or households out there is the personal income has declined in the last 4 months about 2.7%. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does affect the bottom line. Now, I'm wondering why, and I don't know if some of the owners are not going to let people go, but they're going to say, okay, you're going to work 35
hours
instead of 40 hours or something. I guess that's the reasoning.
There's going to be some people unemployed, too. So I thought it would be more than 2% because there are some people that have been devastated by this COVID that are taking a lot less money in. But,
I think they're saying people that are working.
Oh, people are working?
Yeah, people
less?
That are working
then
is 2.7.
Then I think your theory
so
is right.
So it's less hours, right? I mean, it has to be less
exactly.
hours.
No overtime for sure.
Yeah. And then one area that's really hurting people, and you hear it all the time and then you forget about it, but it keeps rising up to the surface, the cost of health care. They say the average family in the United States is spending $20,000 a year on health care.
Yeah.
And whether it's you're paying your monthly insurance, which I know what I pay, and it's high.
Yeah.
You know, $1,600 a month or some crazy number. Or it's just, you know, you go to the ER, you go to the hospital. Last year, one of my kids got dehydrated, and we didn't know what it was, but we took him there. They gave him an IV, and it was like $4,000 or some crazy number. So, you know, I mean, that comes right out of people's pockets. I mean, the healthcare costs. And at the time, you're going to try to do what's best for your family.
Oh, you never know.
You have to. I mean, you're going to just suck it up and, you know. But it's been on talk about what to do about it. I think if they can figure out a revamp of all that, it's going to help the Americans quite a bit. So that's a negative. You know, some positives. You know, the market was doing pretty well. It was up 9% a couple of weeks ago. Now it's about flat.
Right.
So we only have, you know, 2 months left, give or take. So it should be interesting to see how things pan out, whether it's a positive year or even a negative year.
How do you think the holiday shopping season is going to turn out? And, you know, obviously we don't have a crystal ball, but
no.
Do you think this would be a good season for retailers based on what you're hearing? Russ,
well,
same question to you.
I think people that have jobs are saving more money. So to me, if you save more money, you're probably going to splurge more. So I would say it would be very comparable to last year. You know, I don't think it's going to be off the chart higher, but I don't think it's going to be too far lower. I mean, that's my opinion.
I think they're expecting a big year.
I just wonder, because you're not going to travel as much. I mean, let's look at what they just talked about, Emperor Newsom over in California, that, you know, you can't have but three families in for your Thanksgiving, and you can't, you know.
That's California.
I understand, but if you think about the travel, that a lot of people travel for the holidays, and I almost see, and I hear that chatter in my office, which is why I ask, because people aren't going to be traveling for the holidays, sure. But they're going to be buying extra stuff for their kids and their family members to compensate. So I wonder if the holiday shopping season will be significantly higher because the travel industry is going to be devastated this season.
I think they're expecting a big one.
I can see that. I mean, I can see people trying to compensate, or, you know, I can see that happening. You know, China, we import a lot of goods from China. So in 2019, we imported $452 billion of goods. Guess where we're at right now, year to date, just rough number. Less.
I say, oh, really?
Less.
I would say 75%.
Yeah, 300, 325?
Cut more than half. It's
really?
$181 billion.
That much?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Because if you think about
saying.
It, we're consumers. Americans are the best consumers in the world, right?
Right.
We buy stuff. So with us getting shut down, I mean, a lot of the stuff we buy in Walmart and everywhere is from China, right?
Right.
So I think they took it on the chin, too, with us being locked down. I mean, that's half the amount.
How much of that is related to, and I don't know if you could ever find this number, but how much more is being produced within the U.S. that would have been imported previously?
There's obviously some, but it takes a while to ramp that up.
Yeah.
That hasn't really ramped up all the way yet. I mean, that's starting. It's coming. I mean, Elon Musk is building more plants here. He's going to be doing mining here. And he's just one example, but there's a lot of them. But that stuff's not online yet.
Isn't he moving from California to Texas?
Yeah, oh, that's all happening. But he's also going to be, you know, mining in Nevada, which is now all imported out of China for all the raw materials to make batteries.
But I do think there's a movement to move stuff back home, especially after, you know, the COVID thing. And I think China, you know, maybe stuck it to us on that. But so I think it's going to get better. But it also means for Americans, our prices are going to go up. I mean, you know, everyone wants to go to Walmart and find cheap stuff, which is fine. But, it could, you know, if things get built here more, I think you're going to find prices are going to go up. So people are going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
No, maybe not a lot, but they will go up.
So long term, what's your outlook? We keep going back to it.
So my whole outlet is, if the economy opens up and COVID's not a problem, I'm not saying COVID numbers can't go up. But if the governors keep everything open, which a lot of them are just saying we're going to keep it open,
mm-hmm.
then I think we're going to be in good shape. That's half as glass is half full, not empty.
There you go.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113.
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an
investment.
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark, all in studio. Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, it's the day before Halloween. You know what that means?
Yeah, it means that we are going to take the kids out and do trick-or-treating, knocking on doors, and handling candy.
No. I think what it means is you're going to walk out your front door, let your kids ring your own doorbell, hand them some candy, and put them back inside.
Might be
and
the case. In some states, it's illegal right now to do trick-or-treating. And I know I like the trunk-or-treat things. I think those are very safe. A lot of churches and a lot of organizations have done that for kids.
Yeah, well, you know, when they leave the bowl outside and it's the honor system, the first kid that shows up is just going to dump it all in their bag.
I just put the bowl out empty.
You sound like you've done that from personal experience, Tom.
If you put the bowl out empty and say, just take one, they'll assume the guy before them took it.
Yeah.
So you're okay.
Yeah. Hey, so one of the things that, you know, United States has been, we surpassed everybody. We've been the biggest oil producer for the last couple of years. Now the price of oil, you know, went all the way from like 60 a barrel. I think the low was like $16 or $18 a barrel. Now it's at give or take about $40 a barrel. But a lot of these companies out of Texas, and they call it the Permian Basin, they have to pretty much, at $50 a barrel, they can do business. And they might do business a little bit under that amount, but at some point they will close up. So one of the things out there, and oil business is big in the United States, is if they can continue on. Mm-hmm. So if oil stays where it's at, that's not a good sign, because I think a lot of these U.S. companies are gonna, either show some or actually declare bankruptcy, some bigger companies, but they might just close down and wait for brighter days. So that's not a good thing.
Well, and you can see it. I know you said you drove to Texas. How many of the oil derricks as you're driving across country did you see running versus how many weren't? We took a trip back to Wisconsin this last year, and it's funny because we've driven that probably 7-8 times in the last 10 years. And there's times coming through Oklahoma, you see all of the oil derricks fired up and moving.
Are those the iron horses you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, you got to know what the terminology is.
No, I don't.
but on the way back this year, I would say 60%, 65% of them were not moving.
Yeah.
So
I didn't see a lot of them because we drove to San Antonio, but the ones I saw looked active.
Okay.
But there wasn't a ton of them. I don't know if we're in the wrong area.
You just weren't paying attention.
Maybe I was sleeping.
You're driving 100 miles an hour, just not paying attention.
Yeah. But, that's going to have an effect because oil is a big part of the GDP number. I don't know the stat, but it's a big number. Now, if oil can stay above that, I think, it's going to flourish. And I think Trump has plans to even drill more on federal land. So oil should, if they can keep the price up, I think it's going to expand, and mm-hmm. which means more jobs and that. Now, what's interesting is natural gas. I mean, I don't know if you follow the price of natural gas.
Not much.
It's beat up to the nth degree. But I think if oil, usually when oil gets more expensive, then people can switch to natural, or companies can, and back and forth. But that's another industry that's kind of beat up. And as you know, with East Coast, Pennsylvania, and all that, big natural gas up there. So,
Well, again, if you read all the weather advisories, they're planning on a bitter cold winter this year. Right, gents? Say yes.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Knowing that, the home heating oil, natural gas, you should have a huge amount of demand this year, which obviously should translate into some support for a beat-up industry. But was it because they overproduced? Is it because there wasn't a lot of demand this last year? Because we did have a milder winter nationally. But again, is it supply or was it demand that caused them to get beat up? I don't know.
I think supply. I think you're right that it wasn't as cold as they thought. And how about this winter? I mean, they're not predicting a really cold winter.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. They're predicting.
Like for the whole,
That's why they're thrilled in Chicago that your restaurants, you can eat outdoors and you can have that really thick Chicago pizza, when it's 30 below zero. Sign me up for that.
Turn to ice before it touches your mouth.
Right. Russ, you promised to take us for a good slice of pizza, right?
There you go. We'll do it outdoors. Absolutely.
And then a lot of these companies, the supply chains got disrupted pretty good. And like you said, on the housing side, I mean, I've talked to some business owners that are just trying to order certain parts for certain things, plumbing and other things, and that they have a hard time finding it, or takes, a month or so to get it. So instead of having it on the shelf or... Mm-hmm. one-day access, so that stalls a lot of businesses because, when you're doing a job, you want to get it done, and you have to wait and, come back and then install, so.
And like you say, that supply chain, couple of light bulbs. As silly as this is, all these new LED lights, they're color temperature sensitive, right? So mm-hmm. you can have them 2700K and it's a very yellow, you can have 5000K and it's a very white light. So we had two lights, those recessed can lights in our house, go out, and I went to find the same light bulb, which was bought at a normal, department store here, if you will, home improvement store. They don't have it. And it's going to take about a month to get that same light bulb in that we had previously bought there. Why? The supply chain that you just talked about. So the things that you could normally buy off the shelf, it's going to take about a month to replace that light bulb so it matches. Or I could put a different light bulb in and just have one obnoxiously incorrect colored bulb.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. There's too many choices on lights now. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's true, too.
I do like them. I love the LED, and I like, these are LED.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. They last, supposed to be forever, but yours burned out.
Supposed to be the forever. Yeah. Who knows? But, you know, I mean, obviously, these are 7-year-old bulbs, so I don't know if they were overused, underused. But it's that, hey, this product was formerly on the shelf, and now it's going to take you a month to get it in. And what the store manager said is
we're having a terrible time on automotive stuff. Because, you know, traditionally a lot of it was China overseas and stuff, and electronic parts and things for cars. There's some things that I have to tell people, we can't fix your car for a month. And that just didn't happen as much as it is now.
And that means they get to see you twice, so that's twice the money, Russ.
That's really really terrible.
Do you rent a space in your parking lot for them for a month? How does
we don't. We let them stay, but that is happening in a lot of places. But on these older cars particularly. I mean, newer cars, you know, they're going to be taken care of because the manufacturers, you know, have a surplus of, you know, supply of stuff they know that is a car.
So what's the most difficult part for you to get then right now?
Electronics and stuff. You know, if your car has an electronic problem where we have to replace, you know, where the fuse box and all that stuff goes, which is not uncommon in cars. Older cars, those go bad. Getting those is, or even repair parts to fix them, because there are companies that fix them or that rebuild them for older cars, but they can't get the repair parts.
And then you wonder, okay, the companies that repair them, are they so inundated because now the demand for repairing items is significantly greater because you can't get the new parts?
well, yeah. I mean, they'd love the work. Just give me the parts.
Mm.
Yeah, but they can't get some of the electronic component parts and stuff.
So supply chain, I think what I'm hearing is one of the biggest issues that we have to overcome, whether it's lumber for housing, electronic components for cars. I think everybody slowed down what they needed to because they didn't want to carry a ton of inventory when the economy was uncertain.
I think that some of it, was a supply chain interruptions where it used to come from China and doesn't anymore. And they're revamping a lot of things. And the COVID has slowed it down. Now, because of the COVID, some of these manufacturers shut down for a month, shut down for 2 months or whatever, or a week. And they disrupted a lot of manufacturing all over the world.
Especially the meat industry business, you know, because they were afraid of spreading it that way, so they closed down for quite a bit. Some of that, and even I talked to some of the farmers locally, and you know, they've had some problem with their how they distribute their goods, and you know, hiccups along the supply chain. So you know, it's affecting everybody.
We're having a hard time getting tires. You know, we do tires, and some manufacturers we can't even get them because those all come from overseas too, and just getting them in here right now.
Now, are the major name brands that you and I would know, are most of those produced here in the U.S. or no?
No, South American,
Michelin's, Firestone's.
No.
Okay.
Even the major name brands are the ones that we have a hard time getting a lot of them. And sometimes we'll go through 3 or 4 different, you know, to try and find different brands.
Is there an American tire company? That's not, is there, that makes them?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any manufacturers. There might be, but I can't think of one.
So go back to tires. I mean, that's one that you see your car each and every day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So most people should be able to look at their tires and go, oh, my gosh, that's almost bald, or oh, my gosh, it's completely worn the wrong way. If you had your magic phone call, how far in advance do you want somebody to call and say, hey, Russ, I need tires for my car. Let's get them in.
Normally, I get them next day.
Normally next day, but do you want a week?
No, do next day normal, but, you know, there's going to be that occasional, if you have a car that's, you know, not
unique,
it's someone, you think, although I'm having a problem with popular truck tires, too, starting to run low on those. But, yeah, call ahead of time and we'll get them, but you may have to be flexible, like, I only want Michelin, or I only want, you know, they may not have them. I may not be able to get them, because we're having, you know, different...
Someone told me most of tires is made from oil, right? Petroleum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the prices have probably gone down, or they've gone up. I mean,
I think they're fairly stable.
About the same.
Yeah, but it's not the price. It's can I get them?
Yeah, supply.
And it's unusual. It's never happened before. You know, tires are prolific. A lot of people sell them. It's a commodity that everyone uses, and there's a lot of them. It's like running out of milk or bread or something, and we just have a lot of them out there, and it's become spotty.
So is there, again, when you say a popular truck tire, is there a tire size that you just can't get right now because it's so...
If there's one that I can't get, it may only last a couple of weeks and then it's back in the pipeline again.
Okay.
But we never used to have that kind of on and off stuff. But no, it frustrates Chris. You know, Chris does all the buying. I don't do it. But it frustrates him because, you know, he's like, Russ, you won't play. And he has to unload on me. You know, I tried this place. I can't get it. I got that place. I can't get it. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. All right, I'll see you later. I got to go to lunch.
So whether it's tires, whether it's lumber, I mean, in your business, are there supply chain interruptions for you and your business side, not just what you're investing in, but, you know, I mean, have you guys had problems with telephone or computers or anything like that that affects your business because of this?
No, not really. I mean, we do most of the stuff on the internet electronically, and as long as the internet's up and running, we're happy.
I will say it's interesting. You know, we expanded and we went to go buy 10 monitors and same kind of a thing. You know, you want everything uniform. It took an extra 2.5 weeks to get monitors because we were ordering them from Dell. Dell was behind in production for the normal standard monitor that we all use. And you think, wow, it took me an extra couple of weeks just to get a computer monitor.
I went to Best Buy to buy some monitors. Didn't have them. They don't have them. Unless I wanted to buy the $900 one.
And that's lots of people at home, kids getting set up to do Zoom classes and stuff. So it's interesting. There's that. Way more after the break. Russ is waving his hands wildly. So we're going to take a break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek, Tom, and Russ here in studio. Russ, you just learned something new.
Well, yeah. Ken Rosier texted me and said that Continental Tires are manufactured in Georgia, and Michigan, although it's a German company.
Yeah, but you just said you learned that Michelin is French.
Michelin is French. I didn't even know
So you've been pronouncing that wrong for 50 years of your lifetime.
I will continue to do so.
So, you know, we started the show talking about what we see going forward. And, you know, Tom, you get to invest people's money and help them grow, and mine is the debt side. And this is the one time that we can add money to people's pocketbooks or their budgets because of the ability to rearrange debt. And whether it's your house, your car, your credit cards, you know, to get a raise and make an extra $500 or $800 a month after tax, for a lot of people is impossible. But if you say, hey, I might be able to save $150, $200 on my house, I might be able to save $100 on my car, I might be able to rearrange my credit cards and save $100, it's not difficult to save $400 to $600 a month right now in debt. And let's just look at $600 a month, that's $7,200 a year. That's a huge number for most people. So I think over the next year, and I would love to see people have it done in under a year, but for the next year, this would be the greatest time in history to rearrange your debt to try to save on the debt that you already have. I'm not saying go take on new debt, although this might be the time to get a new house. If you've got a car that's running down and Russ can't get the electronics in, might be a great time to buy a new car. But restructure the debt to save as much money as you can, so when the market continues to grow like you're projecting, now you've got extra money to go invest.
And I think, too, a lot of people don't think about this, but if you're not in the house that you want to be in, whether you're going to have more kids or you just think, you know, you can upgrade to a better house because you're making more money, now's the time, I think, to go out and get that house that you can lock in a mortgage and then stay there forever. Mm-hmm. Because right now mortgages, you know, are, you know, 2 to 3%.
Yeah,
right?
Ridiculously low.
So, you know, if you did buy a house and stayed there for 4 years and popped out of it and went somewhere else, unless you rented it out, you know, you're going to lose out on that. I think when all the clouds clear on COVID and the elections and whoever wins and all that, I think the next shoe that's going to drop in the next 1 to 5 years, or maybe 1 to 3 years, is going to be what's going to happen to interest rates. And, you know, the Fed's been purposely keeping rates low by buying bonds. Mm-hmm. This is the first year they bought corporate bonds ever in the history of the government. So, you know, it's like a spring, and when you push that thing down to keep it low, 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 well, when it's let go, it's going to spring back a lot quicker. Yeah. So you're going to have some rate problems. I mean, I don't know how soon. And I'm not talking next week, next month. But, you know, 1 to 5 years from now, you're going to look back and say, gee, I could have done this, I could have done that.
Yeah, Derek told me to rent, to buy my house now, restructure my debt now. That's what you're going to say in a few years. But come to Derek's office, he'll say, I told you so.
And even for younger couples, like, if you think, what can I qualify for to get in? You know, if rates go up 1 or 2%, and that's not a reason to think of it at some point, you know, that's the difference between qualifying and not qualifying. I mean, the numbers are... Right? Pretty big?
Well, the numbers are big, and let's look at a $200,000 home. A 1% interest rate swing, let's just do simple math first year. 1% on $200,000 is $2,000. That's $180 a month difference in interest. Again, using simple interest, not amortizing it. But, you know, most people have that $150, $200 threshold that they say, you know, $1,200 is affordable, $1,400, that's too much. Well, a 1% interest rate swing might move you out of that $200,000 home down to $175,000. It's not that you don't qualify, but it may be a different neighborhood. And to your point, you know, this is the time to go find the home that you want in the neighborhood that you can see yourself in for a while. And then the question is, do you sell your old home? Do you turn it into a rental if it's your first home? Buy the biggest, nicest home you can afford, not get into, not qualify for, but afford. Because, again, I think interest rates, back when the Fed slowed down and basically let go of your spring analogy on quantitative easing, we were seeing interest rates touch 5. There's a window of people.
And that was in February?
No, before that.
Okay.
But there's a window that's, you know, middle of last year that we were touching 5s for people with marginal credit on traditional 30-year fixed mortgages. And now you're seeing those same credit score borrowers buying things that are in the low 3s to even high 2s. So, I mean, there's a huge savings to people who even have marginal credit getting into homes. This is the time to go find, to, you know, where do you want to live?
So one of the other cons out there, and I know you know this, is people are behind on their mortgages. especially with the COVID and they, you know, the rental thing, they couldn't kick people out if you're rented out. So there are some pretty heavy numbers as far as who's behind on the mortgages. Basically, what I show is 17 million U.S. households were basically behind on their rental payment or their monthly mortgage. If you do the math, there's 130 million households, so about 13.5% are behind. Now, they, you know, what's going to be hard is some of them are probably behind 2, 3 months, 4 months. And, you know, can they really come up with a check and pay 4 months of rent right away? My guess is no.
My guess is a lot of those no. And I'm also going to tell you that remember how banks got paid for modifications back in the day when we had the housing crisis and banks were paid by the government to modify loans?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the big banks right now are literally automatically putting people in forbearance. So, Tom, you may not need it. And all of a sudden, you know, you have the phone call that says, Tom, are you experiencing any financial difficulties? Would you like to go into forbearance? Because there's a program on the backside that financial institutions are getting paid to put people into forbearance.
Now, forbearance means just postpone your payments?
Just postpone your payments. Now, like you say, that's getting tacked onto the backside, so the interest is compounding on those forbearances, but there's no payments made. And there's a lot of people that are getting put into forbearances that didn't need it or didn't realize what they were doing. And now all of a sudden you've got people that are coming to refinance that one of the rules is if you're actively in forbearance, you're behind on your mortgage. Fannie and Freddie say if you're actively behind, you can't finish a refinance. So now you have to unwind that whole thing.
So it's almost like a conflict of rules.
Yeah.
Because one's saying, go ahead, you can do it. It'll offer you some benefits. But the flip side is that you're behind, which, mm-hmm. you know.
So, you know, I've had some customers that have to go rectify and clear up their mortgage, you know, pull money from somewhere, pay back the past due to be able to refinance their home. So just be careful if you get, you know, any of those phone calls are sucked into it. So out of that number that you just gave us that people are behind on their mortgage, I would love to find out how many of them were financial hardship versus how many of them were sold back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, most Americans want something quick and easy. And if someone said, hey, you can postpone your mortgage for 6 months, yeah, it's going to be on the back end of it. Yeah, it's going to be more interest. You know, a lot of people would take it even if they didn't need it, right? I mean, I just think that's how people think.
No comment.
No. Of course they take it. They don't
yeah.
need it.
And that's, you know, and again, that's the advertising and the salesmanship that a lot of these programs put people into. But you and I talk about it all the time, on air and off air, the amount of debt that we carry on credit cards, it's very much a buy now, pay later mentality. And some people can handle it, and some people can't, and some right. people get themselves in trouble. And the forbearance is, again, one of those programs that is designed to help people out who need help for a brief window of time, but is being misused to get lots of people into it that I think they're, well, not I think, I know there's financial remuneration on the backside.
I don't know about you, but I've talked to some business owners, including myself, but the PPP money, is, you know, people got the money. A lot of them have just sat on it or they've used it, but the rules aren't clear on how to get it waived, you might mm-hmm. say. So the banks are saying, we don't know yet, just sit tight. Are you hearing the same thing?
I've heard that.
So that's frustrating, right? Because you're trying to figure out, you know, what's my move and, you know, then no one knows what to do. So.
Well, we're about out of time, so I'm just going to quickly say, you know, we're coming up on the holiday season, Halloween, Thanksgiving around the corner, Christmas around the corner. From all of us at Academy Mortgage, UM Investment Group, KBLU, if you have served, are serving, protecting our freedoms, allowing us to do this, we appreciate you. And if there's anything we can do, stay safe, everybody. Hug your family. Spend some time.
Have a great weekend, Yuma.
The
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.